Good morning. So how are you guys this morning? Christmas is coming. For some of us, that is wonderful news. And one of the things that goes along with Christmas is gift giving, right? And gift receiving. So I want to start out just thinking about a few gifts that you have received over the years. What is one of the best gifts that you've ever been given? Anybody want to share? What was that? Sausage? Oh, socks. Socks. Oh. All right. Oh, nice. Somebody got a hot tub. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Helpful. So how do you react when you get a gift that you really want? How do you react when you get something that you need, like a car, a hot tub, your socks? It's wonderful. We pay attention. We take care of it. We just rejoice. Now, what about one of the worst gifts you've ever received?
Socks.
Right. For sure. My poor mother keeps trying to give me clothes. That's not my favorite. Yeah, when we get something we don't want, we're like, oh, okay, thank you. And then it goes in the drawer or it goes in the closet until they come to visit, right? And we forget about it and we don't pay attention to it. So the scriptures tell us that salvation is a gift from God. And it's just like all of these other gifts that we exchange. There's a spectrum. We can view this gift as the worst gift we've ever been given, the best gift we've ever been given, or somewhere in the middle. Just okay. Like, where does it tip? And however we view this gift determines our reaction, our appreciation, our investment in it, our joy in it. This gift of salvation is reconciling us to God. It's restoring our relationship to God. And we can't be reconciled to others without being reconciled to God, because we need his heart, his eyes, toward other people, toward ourselves even. So we try to avoid God in reconciling sometimes, and we try to, national level, we'll have peace talks and treaties, or there'll be prison sentences, there'll be reparations. There are things that we do to try to bring about reconciliation. But those things kind of tend toward the worst gift end, right? Like, they're things that we're just kind of supposed to do or forced to do. They're not things that tend to affect our hearts, which means the change is temporary. The patch is temporary. It didn't actually create that full joyous reconciliation that it intended. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things. The scriptures include those things. They, from the Old Testament on, we are commanded and encouraged to do some of those things. But it's also very clear all throughout scripture that we tend to look at those things and think that's the fix. We totally forget about God and about our changed heart within us. And that's what the prophets preached, but that's what Christ preached when he came over and over and over again. It's not about what you're doing as much as it's about your heart. Zacchaeus is a story in the New Testament of somebody who did do some of these things. He cheated people out of tons of money, and he enjoyed it all. And then he met Christ, and he realized what a wonderful gift Christ was, and he was done with that way of life. So he was like, oh my gosh, I am a new person. I am going to be a new person. I am going to give people back what I cheated from them, but not just that. I'm going to give them back so much more. Like, but his heart was in it. So we can't muscle our way into viewing salvation as the best gift ever, but we can allow ourselves to be influenced into that by taking the time to come to know and love God. As we get to know God, we begin to know his heart. We begin to experience his love, and we learn little by little, day by day, how to trust him with the whole of our lives. And this doesn't come by happenstance. It comes by sitting with our Father and being open to really hearing him. As our hearts and minds fall in love with God and we see how beautiful and good and desirable he is, then right actions necessarily begin to flow out of us. They bubble up out of the now godly wants and desires that are in our hearts. We can't do this on our own because we don't actually want what God wants apart from him, apart from seeing him. So we have to continually seek him out. We have to linger with him and find out who he is and what he enjoys. Dallas Willard says it this way. He says, the simplicity of spiritual formation lies in its intention. Its aim is to bring every element in our being, working from the inside out, into harmony with the will of God and the kingdom of God. This is the simple focus. We must keep it constantly before us and not be distracted by other things, no matter how good they may appear. And then he goes on to say, the greatest saints are not those who need less grace, like, oh, I've got it all together, I don't need God, but those who actually consume the most grace. Those who are saturated by grace in every dimension of their being. Grace to them is like breath. Grace means that God loves us as we are. He actually loves us, not the idea of us or the ideal of us, but he loves us, so we don't have to hide or pretend. He sees us, he loves us, and he wants good for us. And when we come to see him and love him and begin to want what he wants, like legitimately, because his love is better than our love. His heart is better than ours. So we spend time with him and allow him the space to bring us into harmony with him from the inside out. We never stop learning and growing and changing. As I was preparing for today, I was reading through the Sermon on the Mount, and I was like, okay, you know, I think I've probably got this pretty well down. And then God showed me, no. No, you do not. You know, he'll do that when we sit with him. He'll show us things that we can't see on our own. Ways that we have wandered off the path and begun to see others not with his eyes. And so we have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to repent. And that just means to agree with God. And to say, wow, yeah, that I don't want to do that. I want your eyes. I want your heart. Help me do that. One of the tried and true methods for accomplishing this is spending time on scripture meditation with God. That's where you read something in the Bible and you just focus on a word or a phrase or a whole passage, a story, and you just spend a lot of time with it, turning it around, trying to uncover what does this mean, just talking about it with God, asking him for insight, asking him how it applies to you, asking him how you've grown in this area, the next steps you can take. So, because we are approaching the holidays and approaching a time that can be challenging for people because we are thrown together with friends and family that we may love, but we might not always like. We need to spend time preparing for this, asking for God's heart and God's eyes. So what we're going to do for the next little bit this morning is I'm going to read through the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to read through it slowly, and you've got paper if you'd like to use it, just to keep yourself busy, or if there's something that, a phrase that stands out to you, write it down, and you can just stop and deal with that with God, or keep listening. If there's something that you're confused about, something that's uncomfortable, write it down. This is just between you and God. And if you can also just listen, whatever works for you. Okay. Here we go. Okay. And Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes, open the eyes of our hearts, that we may see you and see each other as you do. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to a mountain and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are those who recognize they are spiritually helpless. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. Blessed are those who are gentle. They will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for God's approval. They will be satisfied. Blessed are those who show mercy. They will be treated mercifully. Blessed are those whose thoughts are pure. They will see God. Blessed are those who make peace. They will be called God's children. Blessed are those who are persecuted for doing what God approves of. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, lie, and say all kinds of evil things about you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because you have a great reward in heaven. The prophets who lived before you were persecuted in these ways. You are salt for the earth. But if salt loses its taste, how will it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on by people. You are light for the world. A city cannot be hidden when it's located on a hill. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, everyone who lights a lamp puts it on a lampstand. Then its light shines on everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine in front of people. Then they will see the good that you do and praise your Father in heaven. Don't ever think that I came to set aside Moses' teachings or the prophets. I didn't come to set them aside, but to make them come true. I can guarantee this truth. until the earth and the heavens disappear, neither a period nor a comma will disappear from the scriptures before everything has come true. So whoever sets aside any command that seems unimportant and teaches others to do the same will be unimportant in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches what the commands say will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I can guarantee that unless you live a life that has God's approval and do it more faithfully than the experts in Moses' teachings and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it was said to your ancestors, never murder. Whoever murders will answer for it in court. But I can guarantee that whoever is angry with another believer will answer for it in court. Whoever calls another believer an insulting name will answer for it in the highest court. Whoever calls another believer a fool will answer for it in hellfire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and remember that there's another believer who has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. First, go away and make peace with that person. Then come back and offer your gift. Make peace quickly with your opponent while you're on the way to court with him. Otherwise, he'll hand you over to the judge. Then the judge will hand you over to an officer who will throw you in prison. I can guarantee this truth. You will never get out until you pay every penny of your fine. You have heard it was said, never commit adultery. But I can guarantee that whoever looks with lust at a woman has already committed adultery in his heart. So if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose a part of your body than to have all of it thrown into hell. And if your right hand leads you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose a part of your body than have all of it go into hell. It has also been said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a written notice. But I can guarantee that any man who divorces his wife for any reason other than unfaithfulness makes her look as though she has committed adultery. Whoever marries a woman divorced in this way makes himself look as though he has committed adultery. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, never break your oath, but give to the Lord what you swore in an oath to give to him. But I didn't tell you to swear an oath at all. Don't swear an oath by heaven, which is God's throne, or by the earth, which is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, which is the city of the great king. And don't swear an oath by your head. After all, you cannot make one hair black or white. Simply say yes or no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to oppose an evil person. If someone slaps you on your right cheek, turn your other cheek to him as well. If someone wants to sue you in order to take your shirt, let him have your coat too. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles with him. Give to everyone who asks you for something. Don't turn away. Anyone who wants to borrow something from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you this, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In this way, you show that you are children of your Father in heaven. He makes his sun rise on people, whether they are good or evil. He lets rain fall on them, whether they are just or unjust. If you love those who love you, do you deserve a reward? Even the tax collectors do that. Are you doing anything remarkable if you welcome only your friends? Everyone does that. That is why you must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be careful not to do your good works in public in order to attract attention. If you do, your Father in heaven will not reward you. So when you give to the poor, don't announce it with trumpet fanfare. This is what the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets in order to be praised by people. I can guarantee this truth. That will be their only reward. When you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your contributions privately. Your Father sees what you do in private. He will reward you. When you pray, don't be like hypocrites. They like to stand in synagogues and on street corners to pray so that everyone can see them. I can guarantee this truth. That will be their only reward. When you pray, go to your room and close the door. Pray privately to your Father who is with you. Your Father sees what you do in private. He will reward you. When you pray, don't ramble like heathens who think they'll be heard if they talk a lot. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, let your name be kept holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive others. Don't allow us to be tempted. Instead, rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive the failures of others, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your failures. When you fast, stop looking like sad hypocrites. They put on sad faces to make it obvious that they're fasting. I can guarantee this truth. That will be their only reward. When you fast, wash your face and comb your hair. Then your fasting won't be obvious. Instead, it will be obvious to your Father who is with you in private. Your Father sees what you do in private. He will reward you. Stop storing up treasures for yourself on earth where moths and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Instead, store up treasures for yourself in heaven where moths and rust don't destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. Your heart will be where your treasure is. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is unclouded, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how dark it will be. No one can serve two masters. He will hate the first master and love the second, or he will be devoted to the first and despise the second. You cannot serve God and wealth. So I tell you, stop worrying about what you will eat or drink or wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds. They don't plant, harvest, or gather the harvest into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single hour to your life by worrying? And why worry about clothes? Notice how the flowers grow in the field. They never work or spin yarn for clothes. But I say that not even Solomon in all his majesty was dressed like one of these flowers. That's the way that God clothes the grass in the field. Today it's alive, and tomorrow it's thrown into an incinerator. So how much more will he clothe you people who have so little faith? Don't ever worry and say, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? Everyone is concerned about these things, and your heavenly Father certainly knows that you need all of them. But first, be concerned about his kingdom and what has his approval. Then all these things will be provided for you. So don't ever worry about tomorrow. After all, tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Stop judging so that you will not be judged. Otherwise, you will be judged by the same standard you use to judge others. The standards you use for others will be applied to you. So why do you see a piece of sawdust in another believer's eye and not notice the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to another believer, let me take that piece of sawdust out of your eye, when you have a beam in your own eye? You hypocrite, first remove the beam from your own eye. Then you will see clearly to remove this piece of sawdust from another believer's eye. Don't give what is holy to dogs or throw your pearls to pigs. Otherwise, they will trample them and tear you to pieces. Ask and you will receive. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Everyone who asks will receive. The one who searches will find. And for the one who knocks, the door will be opened. If your child asks you for bread, would any of you give him a stone? Or if your child asks for a fish, would you give him a snake? Even though you're evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. So how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Always do for other people everything you want them to do for you. That is the meaning of Moses' teaching and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, because the gate and the road that lead to destruction are wide. Many enter through the wide gate, but the narrow gate and the road that lead to life are full of trouble. Only a few people find the narrow gate. Beware of false prophets. They come to you disguised as sheep, but in their hearts they are vicious wolves. You will know them by what they produce. People don't pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a rotten tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a rotten tree cannot produce good fruit. Any tree that fails to produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into a fire, so you will know them by what they produce. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the person who does what my Father in heaven wants. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we force out demons and do many miracles by the power and authority of your name? Then I will tell them publicly, I've never known you. Get away from me, you evil people. Therefore, everyone who hears what I say and obeys it will be like a wise person who built a house on rock. Rain poured and floods came. Winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not collapse because its foundation was on rock. Everyone who hears what I say but doesn't obey it will be like a foolish person who built a house on sand. Rain poured, floods came, winds blew and struck that house. It collapsed, and the result was a total disaster. When Jesus finished this speech, the crowds were amazed at his teachings. Vincent, can you skip ahead? There we go. I'm going to end with this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the paths for everlasting life. Amen. That was a long time. If you try this at home, you do not have to spend this long of time or cover near this much scripture. And if there are some things in there that came up that you're like, felt very uncomfortable and confusing, I am happy to discuss them with you afterwards. You can discuss them in link groups. That's very helpful. Study Bibles often have some good insights. Part of it is doing a little bit of work to understand the people that Christ was first speaking to, but the message stays the same.